Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
Have you ever noticed how politicians frequently loosen their tie, roll up their sleeves, and tussle their hair when they try to identify with hardworking, average American voters? It's pure show business, affectation, and political theater, folks. Every rolled cuff and tussled lock of hair is overseen by stylists, handlers, and political henchmen. They're trying to convey an image that says, sadly, for professional reasons, I have to live in the lap of luxury and wear this $2,000 suit, but I'd really rather be digging ditches or picking chicken guts with the regular hard-working folks. Maybe after work, we can go knock back a few cold ones. We're broke, America, busted, in the hole, and have been for a very long time. Our federal debt exceeds all debts of all humanity, dating back to the beginning of time. Everyone knows this. Everyone, except, apparently, our politicians. Poor Democratic Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She and her husband drive about $100,000 in automobiles and own a couple of houses worth a cool $1 million. Her staffers earn between $60,000 and $160,000 per year. Yet the representative recently suggested that budget cuts and rising restaurant costs are pricing her staffers out of a good meal. Tisk tisk. President Obama recently concluded an African tour that estimates say ran over $100 million. You have to wonder how many starving African bellies $100 million might fill. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. During his 2013 European tour, Vice President Joe Biden dropped a cool $1 million on two nights in a French luxury hotel. Nice work if you can get it. Air Force One, Air Force Two, limousines that weigh as much as a Sherman tank, and all the king's horses and all the king's men. These things leave a carbon footprint somewhere between volcanoes and global gorilla farts. Yet you, deluded, confused, abused, unimportant little American citizens, are told to drive recycled Budweiser cans and live in mean little hovels with summer thermostat settings just below charbroil. Your winter heating bill will be doubled, and your winter thermostat settings inspired by glaciers. All to stop global warming, don't you know? And these things barely scratch the surface of the excesses of our political class. Maybe Wasserman Schultz staffers should drop by the food bank to pick up economy recipe tips from their constituents. Maybe the White House should shut off the air conditioning and get a good African mealie-pap recipe. That's boiled corn mush, the staple of food in sub-Saharan Africa. It's cheap and earth-friendly. Oh, and Joe, next time you need a room, try Motel 6. They'll keep the lights on for you. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
And it is that time again. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 6th of January. And as I promised, or I did promise, a grand show tonight. A whole bunch of stuff going on. And I'm sorry, but due to circumstances beyond my control, not going to be able to do what I wanted to do. However, I have a show here that on constitutional sheriffs that I put together, and it being as how things are going like they're going right now, especially in Virginia, as we watch what's happening over there, I think it's important that all of us understand, and most of my listeners do, understand just how critical that constitutional sheriff is to our, how important they are to our constitutional rights and our freedom and safety, of course, and although that's not their job description for the most part. But there's an hour of this, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's been 5 years probably since I've played this. And I do have an absolute ton of stuff put together here. And I absolutely, well, every time I promise something comes up, but I'm going to make every effort to do all of this. I've got a good, interesting show, a very full show, maybe even a 2-hour show that I need to do. And I'm going to shoot for that on Wednesday, the 8th, 9th, wait, yeah, 8th. Today's the 6th, yeah, the 8th. So you'll enjoy this show, and I will get back here Wednesday with the full meal deal with what's going on around here today. And a lot of gun information, a lot of equipment and gear type stuff. So I have every reason to believe that we may have a very lengthy show on Wednesday. So if you will forgive me for tonight and tune in with me Wednesday night, I think you will not be disappointed. So here we go with the very beginning, the introductory deal of these constitutional sheriffs standing tall in a meeting where, a whole bunch of constitutional sheriffs got together. I believe the meeting was in Oregon, if I recall. So stand by, we'll get that playing for you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grateful to be allowed to introduce this august panel of dedicated public servants. Sacrifice their personal time, resources, and risk media criticism to attend this gathering, allowing us to honor their efforts to ensure your individual rights, liberties, and responsibilities as defined under the Constitution of the United States. Many of them have encountered the current onslaught against that constitutional way of life and have taken an extraordinary personal stand by placing themselves between that onslaught and the citizens who elected them. They have identified many of the tactics used, and they have identified potential solutions, but they need our awareness and support. Unfortunately, it is also my assignment to try and keep 7 armed lawmen and an attorney having the power to incarcerate me to approximately 5 minutes each. Anyone who would like to speak, please feel free to introduce yourself after I introduce our own Sheriff John Lopey.
First of all, thank you very much for being here, and I'm honored to be the first sheriff to speak, because we got an outstanding panel of sheriffs, some of the best sheriffs in California as far as I'm concerned. And one of the things that really... Thank you. And one of the things that really encourages us, the people of Siskiyou County, is the fact that not only do I have backup from all these great sheriffs and an attorney, which is sometimes rare, But we also have backup from all you great citizens. Thank you very much for being here and supporting us. You are an inspiration to us, and you're our heroes. Now I'm going to just spend a couple minutes telling you why you might think, well, why are sheriffs involved in this coordination and this this government controversy? Well, because all sheriffs are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And the California Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And quite frankly, I spent time in Afghanistan, Iraq, and I tell my lovely wife Maxine sometimes it seems like I get more friendly fire than enemy fire. And everybody's not real happy with what we're doing, but essentially what we're doing is we're standing up for the people. And I know these great sheriffs up here will tell you the same thing, but I don't know how many countless meetings I've been to with our federal and state officials, and I must say some federal and state officials are cooperative and do coordinate with us, but some of them do not. And I don't know how many times I've heard, well, why are you doing this? Why are you picking on the people? And usually I hear it's the fish. I say, hey, you know what? We love fish. If we didn't live in Siskiyou County, I mean, that's why we live here, because we love the great outdoors. And yes, we want to preserve the fish. We want to preserve wildlife. We want to preserve the environment. Of course we do, because Siskiyou County, to me, is the most beautiful place in the world, and some of our sheriffs up here live in great counties as well. But one of the retorts I have to them is, well, hey, you know, I try to remember continuously, we serve the people. You don't work for us, we work for you. And I just like a little bit of balance between the need to protect the environment, things like fish, because most of the people in my county are telling me, hey, you know what? Some of you federal and state agencies care more about fish, frogs, trees, and birds than you do about the human race. What's that all about? And one more thing. We're broke. Why are you doing stupid stuff to make us poorer? Why don't you let the people work? Why don't you let the people thrive? Why don't you let our economy grow and not go backwards? We have the dams, we have transportation management issues, we have forest management issues, and just one thing with public safety. Almost every single decision made by federal and state governments impacts public safety and the health and welfare of our people. That's why the sheriffs are involved. And they also are there to uphold the law. And a lot of these federal agencies are not properly coordinating or cooperating with us, which is required by law. So these great sheriffs up here, and I've been involved in that the last 10 months, is to force these federal and state agencies to start serving the people and coordinate and start balancing your decisions with the needs of the people. I could go on and on, but those are just a few of the reasons the sheriffs are intimately involved in this fight, because if we don't stand up, we are right now in a fight for our survival. We are fighting not only for ourselves, more importantly, we're fighting for the survival of our counties, of our local communities, and our children and our grandchildren. And if we don't save things like agriculture and we let them take our water and land and push us off, we won't have any public safety. We'll have no quality of life. We'll have nothing. And I think I've said enough. I'm going to hand this over to Dean Wilson. And I would like to say these are very distinguished sheriffs. I have Dean Wilson from Dale North County. And he's a good guy, and he's from the coast, too. My friend Bruce Haney from Trinity County. Tom Basenko from Shasta County. The famous Greg Hegwood from Plumas County. And Karen is our backup attorney, and she's one of the few attorneys, her and Kirk Andrus and some of our prosecutors. I mean, she is helping us out up here, backing us up, and she's a great citizen. She's helping us out. We really appreciate having her. Sheriff Palmer from Grant County in Oregon. And Gil Gilbertson from Josephine County would have been here. Mike Poindexter from Modoc County in California would have been here too, but he's in Hawaii. And I said, you know, maybe you better go in Hawaii with your wife. I mean, she deserves it. And who else do we have down there? We have Dave Henpratt from Chehama County. Another road warrior. And Dean Groudon from Lassen County, and they're just the greatest sheriffs in the state. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, we thought we'd just spend a couple minutes. Each sheriff will tell you some of the issues that are going on in their counties. We're all in a struggle, all of them. And by the way, I also wanted to, we have all our board of supervisors here and all these great public officials that are here who are supporting the cause. Thank you for being here. I know that I've seen all the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisor members and representatives from the state and the senator and the Senate Assembly and Wally Herger's office. Thank you for being here. And just one more time, thank you for all of you for being here, especially those who travel from outside the area. Thanks for supporting us. God bless you. I'm sorry. I had to tell you one quote. Just one quote, okay, before I get off the mic here. It's from Thomas Jefferson, and I don't know why it seems applicable, but Thomas Jefferson once said that if the people fear the government, what do you got?
Tyranny.
You got tyranny. Now, if the government is afraid of the people, what do you have?
Freedom.
The L word, liberty. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for inviting us here to Wairika. As a sheriff of Del Norte County, it has been an honor to serve my community for the past 9 years. When I got into law enforcement and as when I was elected sheriff, I was ignorant and naive of not only my responsibilities and my duties, but also the terrible condition that our state was in, not being involved in politics. Once elected, however, going back and forth to Sacramento, I quickly learned that the state of California was in deep trouble. That Sacramento was incredibly dysfunctional. That this was not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. This was a problem that plagued both houses, and neither one seemed to be capable of solving it. I became involved in our Tea Party, and in so doing, I learned not only that I had spent a good part of my life enforcing the penal code, but not understanding my oath. Since that time, I have looked at what not only what I do as a sheriff, but what my department does. And I have learned that the assault that's being committed against the people of our community by our own government. Today, it was about a year ago when I had a meeting with our Grange. They invited me to talk with the U.S. Forest Service manager. At that point in time, I learned about a little-known thing called the Travel Management Plan. This Travel Management Plan exists if you have U.S. Forest Service lands or federal lands that are in the hands and managed by the government, the federal government. There is a Travel Management Plan that has been put forward. This Travel Management Plan was calling for not only limiting but also decommissioning roads within our community. They had done this without my knowledge. They had engaged in this activity without the knowledge in large part of our county government. They were engaged with talks with several off-road vehicle groups that were in our area about the desire. But these meetings, although congenial, there was no need for the government to actually comply or meet with any of the demands or requests from the local groups that were involved in these meetings. Once I learned that they were talking about doing to my community and our county and the impact, direct impact that it was going to have on public safety, I immediately started to engage in coordination with our local government and with the federal government agencies that were involved. I informed the other sheriffs that have those types of things in their areas to look at this. To please take a look and see if this is going on in their areas. Because if it is in mine, and it had been for over a year without my knowledge, that it was going on in their areas and their communities as well. We have an assault upon our community. One of the greatest things about Del Norte County is we have everything that we need to be self-sustaining, self-reliant, and to have a thriving economy. We can live in harmony and sustain our environment, whether it's through fishing or timber. But those things have been denied for us and from us by our government. 74% of Del Norte County is either in federal or state holdings right now. Their influence on us is crippling our community and our economy. And as sheriff, I have taken it upon as part of my responsibility to the public safety, well-being, and welfare of my community to seek out and try to stop any infringement upon the rights of our property, our lives, or our liberties within Del Norte County. Every sheriff up here took a sworn oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. But the responsibility, the absolute critical responsibility, the shame that has come upon us by the infliction of our own government's actions towards us rests only in one person's hands, and that's our own. We have been asleep too long. We have allowed government to dictate. We have allowed parties to tell us who they were going to give us as our candidates. We have allowed people to stand by, and we have allowed this to happen to our country. Our founding fathers saw this, understood it, warned us about it, but they also gave us the tools to repair and to fix our country. I am thankful to each of you for being here, because only with your commitment, your strength, your determination, your passion, can we not only hold each and every one of our local politicians accountable and responsible, as we should always insist upon, but we can take back our country. Even if it's a county by county, we can take it back. Thank you so much.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Haney, Sheriff of Trinity County. This is, you know, we're sitting up here not just as individual sheriffs. We're sitting up here as a united group. That's why we're here tonight. we have, you know, we're rural counties. I mean, Trinity County is a little over 20% unemployment. It is, depending on how you want to phrase it, managed or mismanaged. 80% of our county is federally managed or mismanaged, however you want to. So we do have resources. We have timber. But we have such a high unemployment rate. We have a small permanent population in our county. We are probably an easier target than Siskiyou, but we have a couple of dams as well. So that's why this is so important for all of us to be sitting up here united, as I believe most people in the audience are here tonight. In Trinity County, you know, the government has such a nice spin or a nice way to phrase things. The travel plan. Doesn't that sound nice? It sounds, all we have to do is sign up and we're part of the travel plan, right? No, what it is the travel plan is to keep us off of public lands is what it is. In the southern part of our county, I found out just a couple of weeks ago that they're decommissioning roads. They haven't discussed that with the sheriff's office. What does that mean? I'll tell you, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've had 4 major search and rescue operations go on. It's hunting season, so people from other counties come and they get lost. Without these roads, we don't have a way to look for them. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've flown over the forest before, but you can't see much on the ground. So again, these are public safety issues that affect not only the way we do our jobs, but it affects the way we have access to public lands. They forgot that. Have you ever heard the term federally owned? Is there such a thing? Don't we own it? Aren't we the people? Right. So I'll tell you what. Here's my theory: is that if we have one lumber mill left in the county. Yeah, I know we are, and that's because he decided to stick it out. But I'll tell you what: if he tries to put a lumber plant or a harvest plant together, you've got all the lawsuits, the environmentals come out. I'm going to tell you, I believe that our federal government's been inundated with environmentalists. I think that's why these things get shut down. You know, I'm going to agree with probably 99.9% of everything that the sheriffs are going to say up here. We are a united group. You need to be united as well, which I believe you are. But there's something that as I look over this crowd, I see a mature, hard-working group of people. But there's something I see that's missing as well. And along with being united, we need to educate our most valuable resource, and that's our youth. Our youth is being indoctrinated through public school programs, the college system. We need to, you know what, I've got a son. I saw a guy standing back up there with an Oregon State sweatshirt on. My son goes to Oregon State. And I tell you what they see in those colleges, you know, fortunately my son grew up in a home where he goes, that's not how it's supposed to work. But not every kid has. So along with uniting together as a group, because, you know, I'm a citizen up here too. That's what I am. I rely on those dams staying in place so that the man I buy hay from, who I got 4 tons sitting out on my trailer right now, maybe, it better still be there. That's not funny. So that he can continue to do business, right? I mean, this country was formed off people. It was formed off rural America. I mean, we haven't been non-rural for very long, even with the big cities we have right now. This is where it starts. This is where we fight. You know, we're not fighting for just the rights and our abilities to act as citizens within our counties. This is about being Americans. You know, we didn't get these rights and privileges. We fought for them. Our forefathers fought and died and bled for them. We have to remember where our freedoms came from. And I'll tell you this, and I'll end with this. I'll stand by each one of you, no matter what the fight is, to maintain this United States of America, and I'll stand up here with every sheriff as well. Thank you.
Good evening, and thanks, everybody, for sticking with us. You know, a few months ago, Sheriff Wilson hosted a meeting in his county, invited myself and some other sheriffs up, and Southern Oregon sheriffs up, and it was about, I heard a little bit about Fred Kelly Grant and the 10th Amendment, did a little more reading on it. Of course, I heard it in my county from some citizen groups, and that was very educational. A couple of years ago, we learned also about the travel management plan and decommissioning of roads. And my supervisor, he's here tonight with me, Supervisor Les Baugh, we held a rally with citizens near the U.S. Forest Service to basically, don't tread on us, and this is our land, and you're shutting us out, the citizens of America. And that's a big concern. Fortunately, the Board of Supervisors, they enacted coordination in March of 2010. Our public works director went out and surveyed the roads they wanted to change, and we went back with them. And so far, we're waiting to hear back from them, but things are looking pretty good, looking smooth. We'll see where that takes us, but we're keeping our fingers crossed. Many of the things I'm going to talk about is the sheriffs are all facing here in their counties, too. Illegal marijuana, and this is being primarily grown on public lands. Primarily California, we've been invaded by a group of well-armed, well-financed, and well-organized armed foreign nationals on American soil. They're doing illegal activities. They're shooting at our citizens, killing our citizens, taking our game, and ruining our environment for our use. And we've talked about harvest plans and how many hundreds of thousands of dollars legitimate businesses have to go to try and get a piece of lumber done, but they don't have harvest plans. Well, they have harvest plans, but they're all illegal. And nor do they care about the environment. And that's huge, but yet our federal land, quote, management agencies haven't done a whole lot to manage those. It usually falls to the responsibility of the sheriffs. And so if they were going to have that responsibility, we should have the funding that's coming from the federal government to better manage those lands and protect our citizens. Proposition 215, the Compassionate Use Act, medical marijuana, that's been a huge, huge escalating problem. Don't want to say growing because that might be a pun. Finally, a lot of citizens are standing up and saying, you know, enough is enough. It's not what it was designed for, or it's being abused. You might see some involvement by the federal government recently. We're going to see how that develops, but there still needs to be changes there. Land use, I talked a little bit about, but it still needs to be monitored closely, and don't let it creep up. You saw the map of the United States with all the red on it and those monuments, and there was some another seminar I went to at our logging conference in Shasta County. The other parts that we're concerned about, and our supervisor took this on a few months ago, was tank, which they were going to try and put big transmission lines across everybody's property, but not really pay them for it. It was going to ruin their land values. And that started out as a grassroots effort, and it finally got derailed a couple of years ago because of public interest and public involvement, and it got a life of its own, and it finally stopped it. Well, stopped it for now, because I think at some point it'll probably come back. And my supervisor in the back, he can talk a little bit more. Hey, Les, will you hold up your hand? He's right there in the back. Supervisor Les Baugh. Thanks. And you're hearing a little bit about, in the newspaper, Assembly Bill 109, the prison realignment. That's a big concern because a lot of money, they're shifting prisoners to the county responsibility, parolees. They're not opening the gates of the prisons and letting people run out, but there are usually people that will be returning here anyway. And if that money dries up, we'll still be, we, all the counties, will be on the hook for that responsibility. And where's that money coming from? Because we know the financial ability of our counties here in Northern California is not very good. We're kind of living year to year in our budgets, and they're pretty tight. So we still have to, we're closely working as state sheriffs with our association to work with the governor's office and work with the legislature to try and get that more balance so at least the funding comes there. You know, and also I'd like to thank Sheriff Lopey not only for getting this meeting together, but we saw these land use issues, going back to that, coming up. He saw that, and he asked to form a lands use committee with the California State Sheriff's Association, an ad hoc committee, and all of us are on that committee right now. There's a couple of other sheriffs on it, and then we're going to be watching and monitoring, meeting with some of those land agencies. We've named them off here, Fish and Game and Forest Service, BLM, and the others, to try and take that on statewide as an association with 58 total county sheriffs. And then there's the Western States Association of Sheriffs, so that's basically west here, the Rockies, and that's on their radar screen. And then also the National Sheriffs Association, and that's starting to come up on their radar screen. So we're starting to also collaborate and come together as a united front of sheriffs to address these issues that do impact us all. And go ahead. And Sheriff Lopey says, yeah, the basic thing is safety, because many things do boil down to public safety. But before we can be fit, either mentally or physically fit, before we can be educated either ourselves or for our children and our grandchildren, before we can enjoy the great North State here or our parks and the outdoors, even our homes, the businesses to thrive, we have to be safe. And government's first responsibility, and that's been said many times, it's in our California Constitution, Ronald Reagan has said it, is government's first responsibility is to protect its citizens. So thank you all very much for being here. We're trying to stay the watch and work on those issues, but most importantly, we need your help. And that's great that you're helping by being involved in this, because without it, we cannot be effective. We can't stand alone. But thank you all very much for coming.
Just elaborate on some Siskiyou County issues quickly. I know that our Board of Supervisor members, Grace Bennett, Marsha Armstrong, Jim Cook, Michael Kopseff, and Ed Valenzuela are here tonight. But they would tell you that one of our biggest challenges is just the economy. Yeah, I mean, the economy is bad. We have a 20.6% unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is close to 30% if you consider the underemployed. And why is this? When my father got back from World War II, he went to work in a lumber mill. At one time, my cousin and my two grandfathers worked in a lumber mill. Isn't it sad that this soldier that was up here that was wounded twice comes back to Siskiyou County? She probably came and find a decent job, and certainly won't find a job in the timber industry. So when you look at agriculture, which includes ranching and farming is our number one industry now. And as I mentioned before, if the federal and state government agencies take our water, then we have no general fund, because the general fund is generated by not only tax revenues but also property taxes. This damn thing, we've already had these values on homes plummeting up to 50%. And I'm not a scientist, but you ask the question, let me see, you're going to take down four perfectly functioning dams that provide clean energy to over 70,000 people. Does that make sense to you? And you don't even know if it's going to work for the fish. Another thing, I'm very concerned from a standpoint, you take those dams down, you don't have the flood control, you don't have the irrigation in drought years for farmers and ranchers, and you also don't have the water that you use to suppress wildland fires. And on the case of forest management, isn't it ridiculous that I was flying over the forest recently to look for some marijuana patches. We got some in the National Forest Service land areas, like Tom said. And the forests are so thick they look like jungles I've seen in places like the Philippines and Thailand. Well, wouldn't it be nice to manage the forest, to cut down some of the dead and dying trees, replenish the watershed, because a lot of these big trees are sucking up water, and give people jobs, generate tax revenues, bring back fiscal prosperity to this great county and counties all over the country? Wouldn't that be a great thing, you know, for public safety and all of us? And another thing, when you talk about the monument, you talk about the dams, you talk about seizing water, you talk about any seizure of resources, I've told all these federal and state agencies, you know, a lot of the stuff you do is not constitutional, it's not lawful, and you're not even coordinating with us. How do you get away with this? Well, they're not getting away with it because great sheriffs like this are holding them accountable. Thank you very much.
These are tough acts to follow. It is such an incredible honor to have the ability to sit amongst these ladies and gentlemen, to serve alongside with them, for me to represent the citizens of Plumas County. But my strong sense is that our county borders are somewhat going away, because we are all so united in addressing the same issues. And in Plumas County, we're dealing with the very same issues that are faced by these gentlemen in their counties. Timber, mining, water. You know, in Plumas County Unified School District used to be one of the wealthiest school districts in the nation because of the timber. And it's gone. It's just gone. And the mining's gone. And now they're looking at your water, and that presentation earlier tonight was absolutely terrifying. But I think there's something they didn't count on. And it's this. Now, I'm a relatively new sheriff. Been in law enforcement for about 23, 24 years, but I've only been a sheriff for a couple years now. But I think I can pretty safely say that events like this, the coming together of sheriffs like this, is something that hasn't happened in the past. I know with the Tea Party movement and gatherings in my county that I participated in, I remind them, you know, as bleak as things may look, as challenging as things are, this has not happened before. There is an awakening of a giant, and that is... And they didn't count on that. They've been going along. It was mentioned earlier, the travel management plan. What a benign-sounding, innocuous label. And that is the measure of the insidiousness and the calculated efforts that have been underway for a long, long time. And I only became acutely aware of this, of for example, the travel management plan just shortly after I took office. And I gained a little bit of a notoriety on the Internet, I guess, when I was sitting at my desk and the newspaper called me for an interview and they said, well, what do you think of this travel management plan? And so I told them what I thought. Well, that interview kind of went viral on the Internet, and my comments started off with, something like, I'll be damned if I'm going to enforce the travel management plan and criminalize the good folks of my county. Well, Well, that when that article came out and it went on the internet, and my very best friend, he's like my brother, he's my assistant sheriff, Gerald Hendrick. Yeah, he and I have worked together our entire law enforcement careers. He is an early morning person. I'm a late night person. So I'll stay at the office till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. He'll be show up at 6 a.m. So between the two of us, we were there about 20, 30 hours a day. And so that thing hit the internet, and he called me at home. And he says, you gotta get down here. Thought there was a problem. Maybe somebody escaped. We had a major crime. Well, our computer system was on the verge of breaking down because of all the emails that were coming in. And then last month, I think it was, I had the opportunity to testify in front of a congressional subcommittee, and it's so nice to see so many of the people that I saw in Sacramento were here tonight. But I'll be damned if we're going to criminalize law-abiding citizens for doing nothing more than accessing public lands. And the support of all of my citizens in Plumas County and people now throughout the state and the sheriffs, it's very flattering and it's very humbling. But as I reflect on it, it's the measure of something that I find really alarming. Your public officials, your elected officials, either at the city, county, state, federal level, they should not be applauded, nor should they be celebrated, for simply doing what you elected them to do. And the support is tremendous, and it strengthens our resolve, and it causes us to run faster and move these items further ahead, knowing that we have such an outpouring of support from our constituents. But you know, that oath that we took, we take it seriously and we mean it. And so many of our public officials, so many of our elected officials treat it as something of a convenience when it's, you know, appropriate. It's something that you have to subscribe to every day. Every issue, every day, all the time. It's non-negotiable. And as much as I appreciate the support, this should be the new base level for public service. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for all of the hard work, your dedication, coming out on an evening like this, spending the amount of time we've spent here educating ourselves, becoming acquainted with each other. In closing, I think the coming together of the counties is what will make the difference. When counties partner with one another, battling these agencies and these bureaucracies, when the federal government thinks they can take off Siskiyou County because they're broke, when they think they can take off Plumas County because Plumas County's broke, for Sierra County or Lassen or Modoc or Tehama, Tennessee, you name it, they're preying on us from an opportunistic standpoint. When we come together the way what we have, and with Oregon now is crossing state borders, this is not what they planned on, and it's causing them to rethink.
I'm absolutely honored to be here. Thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you.
Attorney from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I'm not sure how I got up here with all these guys that tote guns. But the next time I have to go to Portland to a salmon hearing with Judge Redden, if one of y'all wouldn't mind coming with me, that would be a really good thing. You know, I think a lot of people don't know that attorneys take an oath too. We also take an oath to uphold the Constitution. And you know what one of the saddest thing is that when you go to law school, you don't read the Constitution. You don't read it from top to bottom. And they don't teach you what that Constitution means. What people need to understand is that the Constitution is the foundation. The word Constitution means foundation. And if you don't have a good foundation of your home will crumble. If we don't have a good foundation for this country will crumble. Now let me tell you a few things about the Constitution that you all should keep in mind. One of them is if you read the Constitution, you will understand that the way it is set up, that the federal government and state government has to have a law for everything that they do. When the federal government comes out and asks you or tells you what they're doing, you have the right to say, and what law allows you to do that? But it doesn't work the other way around. The Constitution made the citizens of the United States free people. And so we can do anything that the law does not prohibit. And I gotta tell you, I think in Washington, they kinda got that swamped. And I think we have to start enforcing that. We have to start asking, what law gives you the right to stop my use? What law gives you the right to come into my county and all of a sudden start closing roads? Now, I grew up on a cattle ranch. I'm the fifth generation to live in that same old house in Big Piney, Wyoming. And it was really interesting growing up on that ranch because we used to go to meetings where they would try to tell us that our cattle, 150 miles away, were somehow or the other impacting the geysers in Yellowstone Park. Kidding you. And I would listen to these guys and think, you know, if we were as bad as they say that we are, we'd have put ourselves out of business four generations ago. You should be proud of what you do and proud of who you are, and you do not need a law to be able to manage your homes and manage your lives. Now let me tell you something else about the Constitution. I think this is really interesting. You know Daniel Webster, the guy that wrote the dictionary? He did not write the first dictionary so y'all could spell better. In fact, if you look at one of the first dictionaries in the first publication in the very front, it says that he wrote the dictionary so that they couldn't change the meaning of the words in the Constitution. When the founders were inspired to write that document, he was so concerned that the courts would screw it up. He wrote the dictionary to keep those meanings true to what the founders envisioned for this country. And another thing you've got to remember is that a lot of people make the mistake and they call it my constitutional rights. Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution does not give you rights. God gives you rights. The Constitution is the document that stops the government from taking your rights. So the next time you hear somebody say, talk about your constitutional right, you should correct him and say, no, it's my guaranteed right, because that is not where your rights came from. And if you look at the Federalist Papers, if you look at the writings of the founders, they wrote the Bill of Rights, and even though private property is not mentioned until the Fifth Amendment, they believe that the foundation for every single right in this country, our freedom of speech, our freedom to vote, our freedom to petition, it's all based on the right of ownership of private property. And it doesn't matter whether that private property is my parents' ranch in Big Piney, Wyoming, or your right to make a living and to hold something, or your ideas, they're your property. And the founding fathers believed that that was the basis for every other freedom we have in this country. Now, I don't want to go over my 5 minutes with all these guys with guns up here, but I am going to tell you, one of the questions you've been asking is, why is this happening? I can tell you one of the reasons it's happening is because the federal government pays environmental groups to sue the federal government to stop your use of your property. And the federal government doesn't even track the money. They have absolutely no idea how much money they pay. Right now in the salmon litigation that was filed by Earth Justice representing the National Wildlife Federation, the federal government, for litigation that's not over, has paid $2 million to the environmental groups. So ladies and gentlemen, you're funding your own demise. Because that kind of money is going to these groups. Because the federal government doesn't track it, sitting in my little law firm with a computer and a paralegal in Cheyenne, Wyoming, we tracked $36 million paid to 19 environmental groups in 9 years. And we only polled 19 states. You imagine how much money we're talking about if we're looking at all the states? This kind of madness has to stop. We have to get control of this government. One way to do that is rallies like this, standing with sheriffs like this, standing up for our country, teaching our children. I got to tell you one quick story. We were reading in the newspaper the other day about how the federal government is trying to rebrand itself, you know, like advertising. They are. They're trying to rebrand themselves as the federal family. Because according to the newspaper, that sounds better than the bureaucracy. And so my husband and I are standing in the kitchen and we're laughing about the federal family, and my 17-year-old son rolls his eyes and says, "This is the most dysfunctional family I have ever heard of." For having me. I appreciate your sheriffs. I appreciate you for electing them, and keep up the fight.
Thank you. Alrighty. I'm going to take care of a couple of housekeeping rules real quick before I start. I'm going to start off with a good attorney joke. Actually, I'm just kidding. Just kind of testing out the microphone to see how far away from my face I need to hold this. So I would like to introduce my wife and my son, Tyler and Roseanne. couple other things that I would like to bring up is that I'm from Grant County, Oregon. We should be brother and sister counties. We are so much alike that when I walked through the door back here this evening, this gentleman right back here running all the electronics, his dad is one of my deputies in my county. Could I ask for your help in, there were quite a few people in the video that are here tonight. Could you please stand up? If there's any people, this gentleman back here. What I would like to say is that during that video, there was a lot of emotion. And if you people think that these are the only people that this dam removal is going to affect, you've got another thing coming. I can see the exact same thing happening in my county with our schools, with our city government, with our county government, with our state government, and the only thing that's out of control is the federal government. Our schools are down about 50% in their enrollment. Our high school alone had about 1,200 students. Just this last year, they closed our junior high and consolidated it with the high school. Our population in our school right now is at about 600 students. The school government is coming to the county asking to borrow money when we are one of the richest timber counties in the state of Oregon. How asinine and uncalled for is this? And it's brought on by the only people that we have in positions that we are asking to take care of us. And it's wrong. I've heard a couple of the other sheriffs up here speak, and they mirror exactly where I stand. We have taken an oath of office. Every elected official has taken an oath of office. If they haven't taken the oath of office, they don't belong in office. Some of the things that have gone on that in the county that I reside in, where I serve, started seeing the excessive use of force and people getting guns pointed at them by federal officers for wood permit violations, road closure violations. It's excessive use of force. It's uncalled for. It's unacceptable. I am not a government employee. I am a public servant. I serve the people who elected me. I serve the people that elected me to office. There's no guarantee from one day to the next whether I'll be in office. However, I chose on my own to take a stand, to stand between bad government, bad choices, bad decisions, and the way people are treating the people that I am sworn to protect and defend them, whether they're from my county or whether you come to our county to visit or recreate, or if you have a business, or if you're just traveling through, I have a duty and an obligation to keep you from bad government. I can honestly say that it's an honor and a pleasure to stand up here with the rest of the sheriffs and with Karen. And I just want to say thank you to the family that's going to host us tonight and give us a place to stay. It's been an honor to come down and visit a lot of people. There's another gentleman here in the front row that was from Monument, which is in my county. He's from up in the Medford-Roseburg area. He's traveled down to... And you know what? I don't know what else to say. It's if there's any other elected officials out there, I just beg of you to defend the people that have put you in the office and put you in the position you're in, to defend them and to support them. And
You know, and it's up to you folks to hold them accountable. Hold us accountable. I don't want to drag this out too much later. A couple other things on the Constitution I would like to bring up. And from if I can read the Constitution and understand it and make just a little bit of sense out of it, it's not that difficult of a document to open it up and read this, read it. Read your state constitution and read the U.S. Constitution. I think, to me, the most important provision in the U.S. Constitution is the 10th Amendment. I think I'm going to close with this last little bit, and we need to realize that water rights, mining rights, all have a private property clause or an issue with them. Don't let them take them from you. Don't relinquish them and don't give them up. Stand up and defend for what you believe in.
Yeah, tough acts to follow. So if I'm brief or too brief, you can throw stuff at me. But there's really nothing that I can say that hasn't already been said tonight. So let me give you a little update on what's happening in Tama County. We are experiencing the same issues that everybody else in the North State is experiencing. Dwindling tax base, dwindling lifestyles, crime. People not taking their jobs seriously. I'm kind of a rookie sheriff. I've been in office for 10 months. I got into police work to help people. I got into police work to make some changes. And I ran for sheriff to make some changes, too. I've got a lot of assistance from some seasoned veterans up here. I've tried to stay out of the political portion of the State Sheriff's Association. However, during one of our last North State Sheriff's meetings, the opportunity came up to become a member of the board to study the land use issues we're dealing with. So when Sheriff Lopey called me and said, hey, would you come up to Siskiyou County and be part of this panel and listen to what's going on up here? I said, well, heck yeah, I'll come up here. I know people in Aetna. I know people in Montague. I know people in Wairika. I know people in Weed. I was raised on a ranch. I know the issues regarding water rights and permits and battles with the Forest Service, battles with BLM. I've experienced that personally. I've seen other ranchers experience it, so heck yeah, I'll come. I am becoming more educated on coordination because of the education I've received, some help from citizens of Tama County. A contingent is here. And I thank them for coming up. The fact that we have some cooperation with Board of Supervisors in Tama County, we have invoked coordination with the Shasta Attorney Forrest to deal with the travel management plan. With the assistance of citizens, and I think the most important thing that I've learned is, in this last 10 months as being sheriff, is I've had people saying, well, you're a powerful person. You have all this power. Yeah, the sheriff's a powerful person in a powerful position. However, where does the power come from? Yes. Yes. You don't have the backing of the people. I have no power. So I want to thank you all for having me. Thank Sheriff Lopey for the invitation. These type of forums keep me very humble. Thank you.
good evening. I'm very proud to be up here with such a fine group of people, and all of you, too. Thank you. What a great group of people. I'm a small-town boy. Grew up in Lassen County in the town of Westwood. Some of you might know where that town is. When I was a kid, it was, even though the old mill had shut down, you know, there were mills in neighboring towns, and it was a thriving community. And, you know, as the years have passed, that town has just, it's just dying. And it's not just Westwood, it's all the small towns in Lassen County. And it's not just Lassen County, it's all across rural America. And it's a shame to see that. I was at every year I make my rounds to the different schools in our communities watching football games. And I was at a game in Westwood a week ago. And, you know, we used to have a JV team, a varsity team, cheerleaders, a marching band. And now we have 1 8-man football team. You know, and it's just, and it's not, again, it's Big Valley, school up in the town of Beaver is the same way, Hurlong's the same way, and it's just sickening to see what's occurring to our small communities. They're really... You're right, the spotted owl came to town. So now in Lassen County, you know, we had 3 mills. I worked as a resident deputy up in the Big Valley area also. Anyone that's familiar with that. When I started working there, there were 2 mills in town, and there was a large gold mining operation. Well, now none of those exist. You know, I traveled through that country today on my way up here just because it's a beautiful country. It added about 45 minutes to my drive, but I like to get up there and see the people up there. And as I was going through, it was just sickening to see how many places are vacant, how many places have for sale signs on them, and it's just sad what's happening to rural America. In our county, we're also facing the same problems with the travel management plan, and they're also trying to, on some of the BLM lands, in the eastern portion of our county, the Skedaddle Mountain Range, they're trying to make that a national monument and restrict our access or not allow us access to it. I'm glad we're all here today. I'm glad the sheriffs are working together. I'm glad I can be part of that. And, you know, when I got the email from Sheriff Lopey asking me if I would come, you know, John's a great guy. He's a great sheriff for Siskiyou County. He's a great partner. You know, we've truly, since I've become sheriff, you know, I've gotten help from, you know, Tom Basanko's helped me out a lot. John Lopez helped me out a lot. Sheriff Hagwood. You know, we all work together on a public safety front when we need help with investigations and so on. Well, now we're helping each other out in another area. All right. And I do think, you know, we're all facing the same issues with travel management and so on, but really I do think Siskiyou County is ground zero right now because of the issues you're facing with this potential, these dams being removed, you know, and I couldn't be more proud to be here, and I just wanted to be here to support the people of Siskiyou County and support my good friend John Lopey. So. Thanks again for having us, and I appreciate everybody staying this late.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Goodbye says it all.